Well, welcome everyone. It's just really good to see you again and to be together, just that we can worship together, because it is different, worshiping together versus worshiping individually. There's something about that where it inspires, you know, one worshiper inspires another worshiper, and it just keeps going back and forth. And before long, you know, everybody's worshiping because we're all together, you know, we're all worshiping the same thing. So let's just begin with a word of prayer, and we'll get into our message. Father Almighty, it is amazing to be able to have your word and how your word makes a difference in our lives. I don't know how that really works, because according to this world, that shouldn't make a difference. Yeah, we can get inspired once in a while by the author of a particular book, but your word changes lives, and we just thank you for that. So I pray, Lord, that you teach us today what we need to know, that you guide the words that are spoken, and that you touch our hearts in ways that will be forever touched. We pray all of this through your Son, Jesus. Amen. The message today that we have is called the Word of Life, or the Word of God Gives Life. And again, we're going through the fundamentals of what the Word of God really is there for us, and the different aspects that kind of go along with it. This one here, we're talking about it giving life. And that's important because, in all honesty, we want life. We want to live. We don't want to just exist. We want to live. And, you know, you can see that as a person, you know, is sick. And they always say, I just want to get better. I just want to be able to do better and be able to get around again. And those are just things that just kind of come out naturally. And then we, all of a sudden, when we're starting to get over that, we just feel so much better. But when the sickness comes upon us and stuff, it can really drain us down. It can really pull us down because we're not able to live the life that we want to live. Well, guess what? God's Word gives us life. And the whole thing about this message here is looking at it and the reference to, what does it mean for us? Now, what difference does it matter if God's Word gives life or not? Well, it really does affect us in a lot of ways. So I'm going to just start out with a particular scripture here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. And he says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." So, do you see being alive and having life given to you and the correlation between the Word of God? Pretty simple. They're tied right together. Which means that if we don't have the Word of God, we really don't have life. But I'm alive, and I can talk, I can walk around and stuff. Yeah, but what does it really mean? Dead, what is your... What's that?
Dead man walking.
Dead man walking, there you go. What does it really mean? If you don't know God and His Word, how can you actually do what He created you to do? You can't. And it's a fundamental thing, and it's like sometimes we find it hard to sit down and read God's Word. Sometimes I find it hard because, you know, you get those feelings like, ah, God, I should be doing more, I'm not doing right, and, you know, and it's like my mind is spinning in the sense that, you know, I wish I was more pure, I wish I was more Christ-like. But it's not things that I can do on my own to be able to be Christ-like, you know, but it's God's Spirit in me, as God's Spirit's in you folks, to be able to be Christ-like. But if you can't recognize the Spirit, you can't recognize, you know, the depth of the meaning of Scripture, because you haven't got the Spirit to be able to do that sort of thing. But here it talks about being born again. And we've mentioned that before, because that was mentioned in the book of John, chapter 3, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, saying that you must be born again. And here's a priest, you know, a Pharisee of, you know, leading of all the other Pharisees. And he says, what, how am I supposed to be able to go back into my mother's womb? And it's like, I can't be born again. It just isn't going to fit. It doesn't work that way. And Jesus says, seriously? You're a man of God and you don't know what I'm talking about? How many people could Jesus say that to today? That we need to be born again. Well, we use that term and we think of it as saying, oh, it's the, you know, a Jesus freak or a holy roller sort of person that would say stuff like that. No, it's a believer because it's in Scripture. Okay, so don't be taking it, you know, from a worldly perspective. It's about being born again. Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. So what's the seed? When we talk about the parable of the sower that puts the seed down on these different grounds and stuff. Do you remember what the seed represents? God's Word. The seed is the same no matter what it lands on. But the ground that it lands on is different. The heart that it goes into is different. And when we can latch on to that particular seed and that the Word and allow that to grow in us, then we become alive in Christ. How many people are alive in Christ today? I should see all those hands going up and I should hear the amens going on there. There we are. Because that is like unbelievably important as we go through this and looking at it. And it's like, that is the fundamental thing. If we kind of like just put that off on the back burner and say, oh no, it's just about getting through life and the struggles that's there. That's no. God is above all of that and way beyond it. Remember that Jesus, the victory, you know, over this world is there. In John 6:33, it says, for the bread of life is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. All right, so who's the bread of life?
Jesus.
Yeah, real simple. He gives life. If you want life, who do you have to go to?
Jesus.
Thank you. Yeah, you guys are like batting really well here today. I'm thinking this is it's really good. And we look at this aspect with this sort of scripture verse here, that Jesus is the bread of life. And we can say that in our heads. Do we trust Him with our hearts that He is the bread of life? Do we know that there's no life without Jesus? Do we know that it all comes from the Father above through Jesus here? And we have the Holy Spirit. And this is the three in one, the Trinity and all that stuff there. I can't really explain that. But all I can say is, like, it works for them. So I guess it works for me. And we can deal with that. But He gives life to who? Yeah, that offer of life is given to every individual that has ever lived, is alive today, and will be alive in the future. But it's only those who receive Him that get to actually obtain that life. So the Word is out there. The Word is for everyone to be able to do that. And it's really important with this message to realize that this message is meant for you, because God wants you to know that there's life through Jesus if only you accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And you're going to say, yeah, I already have done that. Great. What are you doing with it? Are you the same as what you were 10 years ago? Or have you walked closer with God between then and now? Because God wants to give you life. Not just life, you know, like at phase 1. He wants you to give you life at phase 10, which is the completeness of life. And are you allowing Him to work inside of you to be able to get that life? All the way to a maximum of 10, or maybe He goes even farther. He probably goes to the millions or whatever He does with that sort of thing. But it's through Jesus that He does that sort of thing. We're going to go into Romans here, and we're looking at Abraham in this point here in terms of how he was given life, where there seems to be no life at all. And we're going to say, well, that makes really no sense at all, because in Abraham's life, he had lots of stuff going for him. He was an individual that God had chosen. He responded, took him away from his family, moved him to a whole different place, said, I'm going to give you, you know, this land, make you a father of many nations and all that. And then Abraham kind of lived his life and everything. And guess what? He became old. And really old, in fact. So when we look at this, the scripture verse here in Romans 4, 17, he says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, speaking about Abraham. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. Okay, so this is important now, right? Abraham believed God. And that's what makes it really important. That's what made him, in the eyes of God, righteous. He believes who? The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as they were. And we're looking at, this is the God that Abraham believed in. One that gave life to something that had no life. And how does that even make sense? Well, if you remember Abraham, and what's really unique about his particular story, is that his wife was barren. Not only was she barren, but she was 90 years old. She was beyond menopause, which meant that her womb was literally dead. And yet, she had a child at the age of 90. Okay, that's like Fern having a child. How's that picture going through your head?
Poor Fern.
Yep, poor Fern. But it's what's really neat about the whole thing is like that is an impossible thing. Her body, Sarah's body, was dead to give birth. Not only was it dead when she possibly could have given birth during her particular age of life and everything, but as she aged, that possibility became even more dead. And yet, God brought life from death. His word said that was going to happen. And Abraham believed him. This is really important because there's many people that are in the church that believe that they're dead and too far gone for God to be able to do anything in their life. You might even have a child where you think they are dead and gone and have gone way too far out of the picture that there's no way that God can bring them back. And I tell you, you are wrong. Because God is above all of that.
Amen.
And you need to believe that Jesus can bring life into a dead individual that has gone wayward with drugs, with lifestyles, with the words that they have said. And life can come to them if they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That can happen, and it can happen today, it can happen tomorrow, and we just need to continue to pray for that sort of thing. Because when it happens, we don't know when that stuff will happen, but when it happens, we don't say, oh, lucky me, my child is now good. Not just good, but it's just better. And I don't know how that happened. It's not luck. It's not that they're just better. But they need to be born again. That their old life needs to be thrown out and have a brand new life that God gives. And the point is that God is offering that to every individual in the world. And every individual in the world has the potential to receive that life. No matter what they have done, no matter who they are, or even what you think of them, even at this moment, God can bring them to life because He brings life out of death. And you have to understand how important that is. So, we get this here in John 5, 21. It says, "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom He pleased to give it." Alright, so who does Jesus feel pleased in order to give life to? What's the criteria?
Belief.
Belief. Exactly. And that's limited, you know, who is limited from believing in Jesus Christ? Yeah, Carol is like, no one. It's exactly right. We've kind of already gone over that, but I need you to be emphasized that God is willing to give life to every individual if they come to know who Jesus is. No matter what they have done, no matter how much they have wronged you or someone in your family, Jesus is willing to come to them. And when He does, it's life-altering, life-changing. Why? Because now they have Christ. I'm going to interrupt. And I didn't know where. There's two stories I want to tell, and things that have happened in the past couple of weeks. That it's just I want to share with you because it really has to do with God's word. And I'll share one now, and I'll share one a little bit later. But and this one here happened during the Lenten, one of the Lenten services that we had. Scripture was being read, and an individual was listening to it, and the word raka was mentioned, and it was about, you know, being angry at your brother. For some reason, and it's weird how that really happens, because you just have absolutely no idea how people are going to receive the word. So, but you give the word regardless. You know, you expect that there's going to be some fruit that comes out of sharing God's word, and you always expect that sort of thing. And sometimes we don't see it, but I feel like every word that I give, you know, in terms of scripture and everything like that, it makes a difference in your lives and the people listening, either on Zoom or, you know, going back through the messages sometime on the internet. I feel like there's a reason why we do this sort of thing, because it will touch someone somehow in some way, because that's how God works. Well, in this particular case, he heard that word rock, and he's heard it many, many times before. But God really touched this individual, and he was cut by God, right down to the depths of his soul there. Because he has a brother that he hadn't talked to in, I forgot, like 15 years, maybe more. Because his brother was not a very nice person. And he made life very complicated in everyone's life. And the family has just decided, we'll just write this individual off because if I don't do anything with him, we don't have problems. Years have gone by. Literally years have gone by. And because of that word, raka, being mentioned, God spoke to this individual and said, you know what? You need to make amends with your brother. The beautiful part of this story is that he listened to God. He called his brother the first time in like 15 years. Made any attempt to be able to communicate with him at all and stuff like that. No idea what was going on in his life. They had a good talk. They chatted. I don't know if everything was resolved. But at least it was the beginning of building a relationship again. 2 days later, his brother died. Timing is important. And when we withhold the listening to God and doing the things that He wants us to do, we can miss an opportunity to bring life into something, because that's what God wants. It's a true story. But it didn't happen to someone in this church. It was a different church, but it was just an amazing story of an individual hearing God's word, putting it into action, and life began where it was dead in that relationship. Maybe God is speaking to you about something. Maybe God's word has touched you something, and you've been putting that off in the back burner. I tell you, do not do that. Take action on God's word. There's a reason that God has touched you with that particular word, just as it touched this individual. Because if he had waited any longer, he would have missed that opportunity, and his brother would have been dead, and there would have been no life in that relationship at all. It's important to remember that sort of story there. That God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit bring life into places where there is death, right? And Jesus is and all of them are pleased to be able to bring that life into it. In Romans 10:11 it says, as Scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. You can trust that the Word of God is truth. And I do like using the word truth, but I also like putting in there's an absolute truth in God's word. And when I say absolute, it means non-bending. It just means that it is there forever. Some people take that word, that truth, well, the truth that I had back when I was a kid is different than I am now as a teenager, which will be different when I'm, an adult, and it's going to be even different when I get really old and stuff like that. No, this is an absolute truth. This truth does not change. And already we've had Scripture, and we've had Jesus for alive, and he had died a couple thousand years ago, and yet we're still preaching this word today. My guess is that in times to come, 2,000 years from now, 4,000 years from now, if the earth is still here and everything, we don't know. But God's word will continue to be preached. We don't know what the churches are going to look like in terms of the structures of the building. But I'll tell you, it'll look just like you listening to God's word, taking that in, and bringing life to a place where there's death. Because in this area here, it says, anyone who trusts in Him will not be put to shame. Again, it goes back to that individual that you have the hardest time to be able to speak to. God's word will make a difference. And that doesn't mean you take this Bible and you start beating them with that sort of thing. But in all things, do it in love. And that might mean that you need to swallow an awful lot. This individual, to be able to pick up the phone and call his brother, he had to make that step because his brother never would. He had to humble himself to make that phone call. And I'm sure his fingers were just shaking, pressing the button to get that number on the phone. And there's a quiver in his voice saying, "Hi, this is your brother." And I'm calling because I'm reaching out to you. That takes a lot. But with the strength of God, we can do that sort of thing because we put our trust in the Lord, that if He's put it on our heart to do something, then I trust that God is already making a path for that to happen. Because I believe that God can bring life into something that's dead. And that might even be a marriage, a relationship that you have with someone that you think is on the train and the cars are separating, it's all falling apart and you're speeding down the track and there's this big turn and it's not going to make it. Yet God can bring all that back together again in a very beautiful way. All right, in Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Oh, yeah. The message is given, and it's like faith comes from hearing the message. What's the message? It's just plain the word of God. And the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. And we've got lots of words in Scripture that we can be sharing. And we can share certain verses, you know, that come to mind with a certain person. It can be written on a card with somebody as a note that you send off to them and put a Scripture verse in there. It's amazing. I have gotten some Scripture verses from some people with cards and stuff, and it's like, how did they know? They don't know. But they're being led by God, who does know. And it makes a difference in my life. And I'm sure you folks have experienced that sort of thing too. You have said, someone has said something to you and it's like, wow, man, that just really made a difference in my life. But hearing, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Just get in the Word.
You know, faith comes from hearing. How can I have a faith? Get in the Word. Oh, it's powerful. I love that verse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking to Loretta here.
Yep. And again, it goes back to, I just remember being brought up, you know, I was going to church all the time, and I don't even think we had a Bible at the home. You know, and it's like, we would go to church, do the thing, and then we'd come home and go back to church, you know, at the end of the week and stuff, and just continue to do that pattern. There was no connection between church and the Word of God and at home. Zippo. And it, you know, I kind of wish I was brought up in a home where we had a, you know, vibrant youth group and all that stuff, and my parents were really on fire for the Lord. But it didn't happen that way. Right? But I have a choice in how I'm going to live my life. And I don't want that to be my life, where I just come to church on Sunday and then forget about it until I come back the next day and or next week and go through that. I want God's word to be there and to be doing it. And I'll admit, it's hard for me to read Scripture all the time, but I listen all the time. When I'm in the car, you know, there's things that I listen to as I'm driving all the time, or I'm working in the shop and I'm listening to that as I'm you know, doing my woodworking and stuff. So I make time for that sort of thing. May not be your way of doing it, but it's, you're not me. You know, you do it the whatever works best for you to be able to get that message and continue to get that message, right? Because that's where it comes from, and we have that sort of thing. It says in Acts 5:20, go, stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. Okay, probably don't know what the whole story is about, but basically, it's in the book of Acts. So we've got Peter that's been jailed, and an angel comes in, kind of breaks him out, and says, this is what you're supposed to do. Right? But they were just put in jail for that very thing. Angel breaks him out and says, you know what? Get back out there to those temple courts and tell the people the full message. Don't hold anything back. Because that is what you're supposed to do. And yet, you know, we go up and we'll say, oh, yeah. You might have a conversation with somebody. And it was kind of funny. It's like, even yesterday, we were at the craft fair with Tom in Portland and stuff. And there was a woman that was talking. She had a lot of things happening in her life. And she says, she's joking around and everything. She says, "Oh, I must have really angered the fire gods or something like that," because she's had fire here and these things have happened in her family and everything. And she goes to me and she says, "Can you pray to those fire gods and just do stuff?" I said, "You know what? I'm going to pray to Jesus." "Oh, that too, yeah, I know, but even still, just go ahead and pray to those other ones." And I'm like, "Okay, I don't think you really get it, because the fire gods aren't anything. I don't even know what that means, to be honest with you." And but it's like, you know, people have to be reminded that it's Jesus that we pray to, not anything else. And I know where she's coming from and everything, but it's like, I don't know. It was almost like a funny thing that was happening to her. You know, it's like, and yet she was blaming the fire gods for it. It's like, whatever. But we have to give the full message of what we do, of what the message is that God has. Not just the parts that we like. The ones that we can kind of latch on to and we can reciprocate that because it fits with our particular lifestyle and we do that sort of thing. Well, my guess is there's some sections of Scripture in here that if you read them, you would feel like pretty tinged. Right? God be working on your life. You're like, you're not very close to where I want you to be. And you need to work on this part of life. A lot of times we just put that off the side because that's just too hard. That's too hard to think that I could even become like that. Well, again, God brings life to something that's dead. There's parts of your life that are dead. You know, we're all that way. We're just not that perfect individual like Christ. But we have to deal with things in our lives, and it's hard to deal with some of those things. We just push them off. But God says, no, preach the full message. Know the full message. And we can only do that by having that relationship with God and being in His Word and in prayer and being with really, literally, other Christians. Because there's an encouragement that comes from other Christians. And if we don't commune with other Christians, then we're kind of missing out on the whole aspect of what Christians are supposed to be doing. Yeah, there's a lot that's in there. And it's amazing how we can, you know, pool our resources together and be able to come together and, you know, four or five people coming together and actually making a real difference in someone's life. Versus just one person touching that person. And yeah, there's a whole thing that goes in there. But I want you to understand this. There's a theme that's going through this message, is that there is new life in what we do because of God's Word. Don't be ashamed of His Word. Don't be ashamed of sharing His Word. Don't be ashamed of saying that you're a Christian, that you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Because when you say that with confidence, they're like, well, maybe that's why you are the way you are. You know, it's like you do make a difference. You seem to be cheerful, even when you're sick sometimes. You're giving God the credit. I don't understand why. That makes no sense to me as a non-believer. But there's something about you that's different than other people that I know. Right? And then they'll start to see. They'll start to look and see what that difference is. In John 5:24-27, it says this, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted to the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man." And you look at this aspect, there's God the Father, you know, and there's God the Son that we're talking about in here, and that each of them have life. And we need to believe. And it's about hearing His Word. So my other story is this. There's a woman that I was talking to. And someone I never met before until this one time. And it's part of a family where there's a division in the family. Similar to this other story that I was talking about. I don't believe I probably believe that she might have put her parents and family through hell in terms of the way she lived her life. And I use that term loosely, you know, just in the sense of kind of a very worldly life. And the family has held grudges forever for this person. And there's changes in their family. And what's happening is that the family, certain family members are not allowing this person to come into the family, even though they want to. Rejecting them. Because of all the turmoil and stuff that they put them through ages ago. And it was really sad, because you know, for 20 minutes or so we were talking. And what's really, there was quite a blessing about it, because she was talking about her family and her kids who have kids. They're on a four-wheeler and they went into a lake on ice, right? And the four-wheeler went through the ice. And miraculously, everybody made it. But there was a time where people were not making it, kids and adults. Out of that, the youngest, be her grandchild and stuff, has come out of that experience somehow knowing God. And he just talks about talking with God all the time. And there's just life in this kid. So she was telling me, she said, he's always happy when he's talking about the things he talked about with God. And he's not shy to sharing any of that sort of thing. And I'm like, here's a woman that has been rejected by her family, and yet God is working in her family. In ways that, you know, I would never think about working or whatever. And yet the words that her grandson are saying, he's saying about God and the things that he's doing, is causing her to rethink her life. That maybe she's missing out on something that she should be, you know, reaching out to. Of course, we talked about that, and that Jesus, I said, maybe this is just God's way of showing you that he is there even for you. Because you know how you get oppressed by someone or get oppressed by your family. You think you're no good. You think you're nothing. You think you have no life in that family. And yet God is showing her that I am bringing life to your family regardless of what some of your family thinks of you. That's bringing life into someone's life. And I find that kind of inspirational. And I don't know all the past that goes along with it. I don't need to. All I know is that God is working in that life to restore things that are dead. This past week has been really cool to be able to hear some of those stories and be part of those discussions with individuals. And I just wanted to share those because it really is something to be able to do this here, that we're talking about this, that those that hear the Word of God can have life, will come to life, even though they are dead. In John 15:5, he talks about, you know, being in the vine, that, you know, God is the vine, we are the branches and all that stuff there. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? So if you're not bearing fruit, which would be, you know, literally the good works of God, or just being able to live in the sense of living with God, is that's bearing fruit. Okay? But if you're not bearing fruit, then your branch will be separated from the vine. Because that's what God expects from us. He expects us to share the Word, because that's what's eternal. That's what gives life. And why do we hold that part back from other individuals because we're afraid of what they're going to say about us? Well, it's a miraculous story that when you share the Word of God and all of a sudden they're born again. And you're going to say, I never thought that would happen. And it's like, seriously? Do you believe what God's Word says or not? You should believe that everyone that you speak to will be born again because of the power of God's Word. And it makes it easier to be able to do that sort of thing. In John 6, and this is my last verse here, 57 through 58 says this, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. This bread is the Word of God. That when you feed on that, and you nourish your soul and your spirit and your body with His Word, you will have life. It's not like, well, I might get it down the road sometime. No, you will have life. And that life will come to you. And you live now, regardless of your sickness, your ailments, your relationships, your money problems, your job problems, you will live for Christ. And it will be a blessing. It always is, because you can trust God that whatever He's doing with you is for His good works. Sure, that's what we're here for.
I went for my first walk this spring around the house, around the ground, and my guide ropes are all rotted, and my son Floyd took them all down. I have one going from the garage to the trees out back, and along the trees and goes to the fence. And then I have one from my clothesline back to the house when I get around it. So anyway, I went out, walked around, out back, and, you know, no one... Well, I got a little mixed up once, but it was okay. I was with God, you know, that's what I say. I'm with Jesus. And so anyway, it's kind of a funny story. I got all the way around back, up the fence line, back to the house, and out through. And my son says, he was in the garage, boy. He said, I just went out back to see if you got lost. He said, because I knew your ropes weren't there. And I said, no, I'm okay. And then... When I think now, what I should have told him, I was walking with Jesus. I wasn't going to get lost. It was kind of a funny story, you know, because he was in the garage doing his thing, and he, all of a sudden he says, I better check on mom. Maybe she got lost. So. But I was already around the house and I was home again.
Yeah, that's right. We think about those sometimes after the fact, don't we? But when we practice it, it comes easier, you know, to be able to do that. And so I want you to know that God's Word gives us life. Always gives life. God's Word never gives death. So Father, I just thank you for this Word here today, and I thank you for sharing with us and bringing all of this together. This we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen.